Very important message I have for you today, ladies and gentlemen. Now, if you're a Christian, you've been truly born again of the Spirit. You're one who follows the Lord Jesus Christ. Be warned, because the devil absolutely hates the preaching of God's Word and the beautiful gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because any person who understands that they are lost and dead in their sins without Jesus Christ has the opportunity to get saved. When a person is truly saved, they exit the devil's kingdom immediately. They are no longer on the devil's highway to hell because they've been transformed and they're on the way to heaven. Folks, that's the crux of the word that I have for you today, the center, the heart of the message. So you need to understand you have a real spiritual enemy. He's just as real as any person that you can see with your physical eyes on earth. Don't ever forget that, folks. You know, that might be a good way to remember, you know, these demon powers, they are real, okay? But they're invisible, so you can't see them. And sometimes we tend to forget that they are operating against us as Christians in the spiritual realm. Peter put it this way in 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. You know, I've spoken about this before. If you watch animal documentaries, and you'll see sometimes they'll have a tiger or a lion, and they're seeking their prey. They're prowling around, and you'll see how they arch their backs, and they'll be crawling along the ground. It's creepy to watch as they'll be going after, say, a baby deer or some other type of animal. And then when they make their move, it's atrocious. It's kind of scary to watch. And before you know it, that poor animal's in their mouth. And that's the description, basically, that Peter gives us. He says, this is how your enemy works, okay? Be sober, he says. Be vigilant, okay? So the devil, he's like a roaring lion. He's walking about seeking whom he may devour. He's not going after an animal. He's going after you. And that's what he's talking about, the devil. So the devil, folks, he's going to try to take you off course. And one of the ways he does that, he distracts the Christian. So the scripture passage I just read to you, we see he is our adversary. And if you've ever shared the gospel of Jesus Christ, you know you're born again, and you've shared the word, and all of a sudden you see there's a thousand interruptions as you're trying to bring forth the word of God to whoever you may be witnessing. So it could be, I'm not saying it's all the time, but it very well could be the enemy of your soul, the adversary seeking to distract you. Why? Because souls are at stake. You know, folks, when I was born again, I noticed this right away. Now, you know, you got to realize, folks, when you come out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, you know Christ. I mean, Jesus Christ, he's called the light of the world. There's something has to happen inside the heart. It's a dramatic thing, okay? And all of a sudden, you start realizing things you never realized before. Why? Because it's the power of the Holy Spirit inside you, okay? The natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit. Don't ever forget that. So the devil's going to try to take you off course, ladies and gentlemen. Something you need to remember. You know, I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. I was a Roman Catholic for many years. I was born again in 1989, deceived for the first 36 years of my life. That's why I speak out so often on Roman Catholicism, because we're living in a day. I mean, it's getting ugly, folks, inside what you would call the Protestant churches. And people are bending and bowing their knee before Rome. It is everywhere. So I'm speaking out. And it's a crying shame, folks, that so many famous people in the Christian world, I mean, the television ministers, that are bowing down before Rome, they're called anointed folks. Hear me now. If you are dancing with Rome, if you are bowing your knee before Rome with that false encounter of the gospel, that's not the Spirit of God that is leading you. So you can talk about the anointing, but hear me, it is not the anointing of the Holy Spirit that is directing you to join hands with a system that preaches a false gospel. The Lord Jesus Christ, the true Holy Spirit of truth, he brought me out. Okay, the Lord worked in my heart. The Holy Spirit of truth, don't ever forget, the Holy Spirit of truth will testify about Jesus Christ, folks. Don't ever forget that. That's what he said, the Lord, when he walked in this world. So you have many counterfeit ministers, and the Bible talks about Satan's ministers, the devil's ministers, come in disguised as ministers of righteousness and ministers of light. So we're fortunate, ladies and gentlemen, that we have the Bible. We have the Word of God in our hands today. And I thank God for those true men of God who stood against the teachings of Rome. And you know, many of them were martyred, burnt at the stake, you know, atrocious things. They stood for the Word of God. We have a Bible today because of people like that. You know, I think of so many people, William Tyndale and many others. Thank God for them. So in this modern day, when I do speak out against the counterfeit religion of Roman Catholicism, think of the doctrines of the Immaculate Conception and the Assumption of Mary into heaven. These are two fairly recent false teachings that came along in the 1800s. Immaculate Conception, that Mary herself was conceived without sin. This is man-made tradition. So when you see these things, these false teachings come along, and you see the leaders in so-called Christian churches saying nothing, you know we got a trouble inside the building that we call the Christian church. When you think of the Feast of the Assumption of Mary into heaven, that came after the Feast of the Immaculate Conception, and it's a counterfeit. It's an imitation of the ascension of Jesus Christ into heaven. The Immaculate Conception is a counterfeit, an imitation, the devil's work, counterfeit of the sinlessness of Jesus Christ. You see, Satan will do all that he can to get your eyes off of Jesus Christ and him alone. Don't ever forget that. Let's read Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 12. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's basically what I was saying before. It says we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, ladies and gentlemen. In other words, you're not this spiritual battle. You can't see the demon powers, but we're wrestling against invisible powers. These are the principalities, spiritual wickedness, darkness, folks. Don't ever forget that. You have an enemy. Demon powers do all that they can to take you down, to stop you from preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's only one gospel. Now, that scripture that I shared with you, by the way, was spoken by the Apostle Paul. This man was a Jewish man who hated Christians. He consented unto the death of Christians. Don't ever forget that. So this man was a deceived man, okay? Until he got saved, until the Spirit of God, until Jesus Christ spoke to him out of heaven. Okay, now keep in mind, I believe in the triunity of the eternal Godhead. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. One God, don't ever forget that. One God, not three gods, one God, okay? And the Spirit of God will testify, will always point you to Jesus Christ. He's not going to point you to a saint or the Virgin Mary, as I was taught as a Roman Catholic. The Spirit of God is the Spirit of truth. He will point you to Jesus. So listen to what Paul says here in Galatians 1, 8 to 10. Now you, when you hear this verse, you're going to sense the seriousness of this man of God. And this is like the opposite of what you see in the modern day church. Listen to this. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. I'll never forget that. One gospel, here's Paul shouting a warning. Now this is coming from the heart of a Jewish man who was on his way to hell until the Lord woke that man up on the way to Damascus. He got his arrest warrants to go after more Christians. He was a tyrant against Christians. He arrested them, he'd bring them in, and many of them were put to death, and he consented unto their deaths. In fact, Stephen in Acts chapter 7, you'll see that his clothes, after they murdered that man, were laid at the feet of Saul of Tarsus, who became the Apostle Paul. So we're dealing with serious stuff. This guy came out of deception, folks. And he's warning. This is what true love is, by the way. He sees the lostness of the soul. And that's what you sense when he preaches the word. So I'm here to tell you, folks, Satan hijacks the gospel of Jesus Christ and he brings forth a false gospel. I was delivered out of the false gospel of Roman Catholicism. Thank God. To this day, I can thank God. I thank him every day for what he's done. And it's amazing. It's an amazing thing to be saved. It's an amazing thing to be born again of the Spirit. So Satan is ever so clever in the way he moves. And he loves it when people use the name of Jesus, but they're not truly born again. And thus they're not preaching the true gospel. Another modern day deception besides Roman Catholicism is that of Christian Zionism, which puts the focus on modern day Israel, the state of Israel, and the ethnic Jewish people. Now, the devil knows, ladies and gentlemen, that a person needs to be born again of the Spirit. Okay, don't ever forget that. So he knows that the Jewish people need to enter the kingdom of God the same way as anybody else. As I said before, the devil, he's able to use his own ministers of righteousness to convince most people that the Jewish people are all right because they're God's chosen people. In other words, they talk about a postponement of the gospel and that they're still God's chosen people even though they reject Jesus Christ. Hear me now, folks. That's not true. One gospel for both the Jew and the Gentile. Today, God is an equal opportunity savior. In other words, if you're Jewish, you turn to Christ, you will get saved the same way as a Gentile who gives his heart, turns his heart over to the Lord. He believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, calls upon him to save his soul. Same for both the Jew and the Gentile. Don't ever forget that. So he's able, the devil is so crafty, he's able to take the focus off of Jesus Christ and their need for him and twist the whole thing around. And that's why you have this preaching, bless the people of Israel. Now, you know, folks, hear me now. The Lord is happy with people who choose him, okay? So God's people are those who believe in him. Don't ever forget that. Listen to John 3 and 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Don't ever forget that. So the believer, ladies and gentlemen, they have everlasting life. That goes for Jew or Gentile, okay? Jew or Gentile. You believe in the Lord, you believe in the Son of God, Jesus Christ, you have everlasting life. But if you don't, the wrath of God is still abiding upon you. Now hear me. Before I was born again of the Spirit, I had the wrath of God abiding upon me, and I didn't know it. Trust me, when you're born again, folks, you know you come out from darkness into light. It's something takes place in your heart and you're like, the lights go on. That's the best way I could put it. It's like a lamp on a table. If you take that plug out of the wall, the wall socket, that lamp is not going to light. You can turn that light switch as many times as you like. Nothing is going to happen. But when you take that plug and insert it into the socket. You have the power flowing through the lamp, and you turn the switch, the light's going to go on. That's what it's like, folks, because without the power of Almighty God, there is no life. The light of life is not inside you. It was not inside me. I had the wrath of God abide upon me. So when you think of what this modern day talk with the Jewish people still being God's chosen people, hear me now. Any person that dies without Christ dies in their sins. They will go to hell forever. That's a fact. That is a fact you need to remember, ladies and gentlemen. So now when you think of all the people over the past 20 centuries that have died in their sins without Christ, both Jew and Gentile, you don't get into God's kingdom by magic. You come in one way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So the question is, do you have the wrath of God abiding upon you today? That's a good thing to search your own heart, listener. It's the reason you're hearing this message today. The hour's late, hear me. So let me read to you now 2 Corinthians 11, verses 13 to 14. This is also written by that Jewish apostle Paul, who came out of deception, okay? He thought he had everything. He thought he had the scriptures. He read the scriptures. He sat under the best teaching, but he didn't know the Lord until that day on the road to Damascus. Here it is. For such a false apostle's deceitful work is transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. The devil plays for keeps, folks. He doesn't play games. We're not playing tiddlywinks here. This isn't a little game. You know, listen or hear me now. You're either saved or you're lost. You're either in the kingdom of God or you're not. You either have everlasting life or you don't. And that's how real it is. There's no in between here. Okay, it's either heaven or hell. No purgatory. I mean, I was taught purgatory for years, folks. I am amazed that people don't speak about this and warn the people. Okay, the political system within the so-called church is incredible. When you think about this teaching of purgatory, that there's this other place. It's not heaven. It's not hell. And people are there, according to the Roman Catholic teaching, they're being purified. And people have a Roman Catholic mass said for the deceased relatives and friends who they're told are in this place called purgatory. Think of the billions of dollars over the past how many centuries since this teaching came about. And people, well-meaning people, I did it myself, well-meaning people will ask a priest to say a mass for their dead relative because they think they're suffering. They want to help them out of there. Folks, there is no purgatory. That's what I'm talking about. We're talking about counterfeit religion. Okay, you search the scriptures for yourself. You'll see Jesus preached heaven or hell. He preached salvation or damnation. Very clearly, he preached the same way after he rose from the dead as he did before. Don't ever forget that. So what happens now when the true gospel goes forth? Hear me now. All hell will come against you, folks, if you're a true Christian. So remember that he'll do all that he can to keep the gospel from being preached. He will corrupt the gospel. He will pervert the gospel. And if he can't do that, he will keep people distracted. You could be sharing the word and all of a sudden all things will go crazy around you. That's Satan at work most of the time, trying to keep the word of God from being heard. He steals the word out of the heart even after people hear it. And that's the truth. That's the scriptural truth. And many times he will use religious people to become rabble-rousers, and they'll create storms and distractions to quench the gospel message. Now, here are some biblical examples of how Satan works. In other words, I'm going to quote right from the scriptures to give you some examples of how this has happened, so you'll see this is the real deal. Acts chapter 13, verses 48 to 52. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed, and the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. But the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city, and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and expelled them out of their coasts. But they shook off the dust of their feet against them, and came into Iconium, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. So, here we see the Gentiles, they had a hunger for the Word of God, all right? And what took place, there was animosity between the Jewish people and them, and they gathered the devout. You know, they went to the religious people. You get some of these elderly people, very religious, but they've never been saved, never been born again. They knew where to go, and they got the honorable women, the chief men of the city, could be politicians. And what they did is they raised persecution, and obviously they infected the thinking of the people against Paul and Barnabas. Paul and Barnabas were preaching their hearts out. My Lord, they had a burden for souls. They were filled with the Holy Ghost, ladies and gentlemen. And so what happened, you know, it says here that they shook off the dust of their feet. You know, I heard sometimes people would take their sandals, bang them together. In other words, you know, you heard the word. We're moving on. And that's scary. Basically, they're making a statement. The word went forth. And they banged that. Basically, they're shaking the very dust from the city that they just preached in and moving on. It's a judgment of Almighty God. So that's just the way it is, folks. Let me give you another example. Acts chapter 14, 1-3. And it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also of the Greeks, believed. Listen to this. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren, long time therefore a bold day, speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace, and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. So once again we see, don't miss this, folks, the unbelieving Jews, okay, didn't believe in Jesus Christ. You know, to this day many people think that this whole idea of Jesus being the Son of God, co-equal with God the Father, this whole idea of Jesus being a Messiah is a big joke. A lot of people think it's stupid, okay? And they think you're out of your mind sometimes. So here they are preaching the word of God. The unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles. So they knew they were stirring the pot, folks. You see, they didn't want Jesus, and they wanted to make sure that nobody else got the word preached to them. You see, that's just the way Satan works. How Satan hijacks the gospel, okay? You know what the word hijack, you hear about hijack plane, hijack this. They take it over, you see? They do not want this word to go forth. Let me give you another example. Acts chapter 17, verse 13. But when the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of God was preached of Paul at Berea, they came thither also and stirred up the people. There it goes. You've heard that term before. Man, this guy's really stirring the pot. That's what they were doing. They stirred the pot against the Christian. They stirred the pot against the true word going forth. Oh, yes. Let's see. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 14 to 16. Keep in mind, this was spoken, written down by the Jewish Apostle Paul. Keep in mind, this was written down by a man who did the exact thing that he's speaking against. So in other words, Paul hated Christians. He persecuted Christians to no end. He loved doing it. As I said before, he consented unto the death of them. And that's a good, you know, I'll tell you, I'm blessed, folks. When I see that God can save a man like the Jewish Apostle Paul, think of that. That's mercy. Lord have mercy. You know, when that guy got saved, you read Acts chapter 9 and how the Lord spoke to him out of heaven. Now, I'll be honest with you. If I heard a voice speaking to me out of heaven. And here I am persecuting Christians. And Paul said, Saul of Tarsus at the time, he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" He says, "I'm Jesus who you're persecuting." You know, at that point in time, I would have thought I would have been fried toast. I mean, at least a couple of lightning bolts would zap me or something. You know, here's God Almighty. He says, "I am Jesus whom you are persecuting." That's mercy, folks, that this guy was even allowed to live. And I believe that man never forgot what happened to him. Obviously, here he is thinking he had the truth, and he didn't. He didn't know the Lord. And now all of a sudden, God showed him mercy, and he went on to become the greatest preacher, I believe, in my opinion, outside of Jesus Christ himself. Powerful, powerful, powerful preacher of the word of God. Listen to this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 14 to 16. "For ye, brethren, became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews, who both," listen to this, "who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and have persecuted us. And they please not God, and are contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved, to fill up their sin always, for the wrath is come upon them to the uttermost." That's powerful, folks. I mean, I encourage you to read that on your own. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 14 to 16. So, it's powerful that because this man who wrote that, he's Jewish himself. And now he's speaking and he's saying of his own people, he says, that they killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets. And you'll find the Lord Jesus Christ speaking the same way. Because you'll hear today people saying, "Oh no, that's not really the way it happened." That is the way it happened, folks. That's what the scriptures say. So what I want you to see is how Paul said that they were forbidding them to speak to the Gentiles. Don't miss this, that they might be saved. They were acting as an obstruction to the truth going out. That's the battle for the soul, folks. That is the extreme battle for the soul. And as I began this message, I said, if you've ever been born again of the Spirit, trust me, and you're sharing the gospel with people, and you're perhaps handing out tracts and witnessing one-on-one. You know, I've had my share of ministry on the streets, on the subways. Folks, hear me. This is real, and you know it's real. If you've done it, and I'm sure sooner or later it's happened to you, whether it be on a one-on-one with a relative or a friend or a coworker, whatever it is, you don't have to be a street preacher to enter into this battle, because it'll follow you. Trust me. Wherever the word is going forth, you can rest assured that the enemy's going to try to stop the word of God from going forth. So don't forget that Paul spoke about them forbidding. So you had the Jewish people forbidding them from preaching the gospel to the Gentiles. Listen, that they might be saved. Lord, have mercy. And it says, to fill up their sin always, for the wrath has come upon them to the uttermost. Lord, have mercy. So the scripture passage, ladies and gentlemen, it told us that the Jews, the unbelievers, they killed the Lord Jesus Christ. They killed their own prophets. They continued to persecute the Lord's people. So there's the obstruction. This is how Satan uses counterfeit religion, folks, to interfere, to stop the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So they were doing everything that they could. And, you know, that's why when I talk about that false gospel of Christian Zionism, when you put the focus on a land over in Israel, your eyes are taken off the main point of Jesus Christ. And you know, when you hear this kind of chatter, it's almost as if the death, the cross, the blood of Christ, and the resurrection become meaningless. That's what you need to preach to the Jewish people. Hear me. And let me tell you, when you do that, you are going to see fireworks. In other words, you're going to see just what happened here in the book of Acts. Because the word's going forth with power. The word's going forth with the anointing of the Holy Ghost upon it. You're not talking about a land, okay? You're talking about Jesus Christ. That's what you're talking about. You are talking about Jesus Christ. And that's what I wanted to get across to you today, folks. You know, I began the message, I spoke about my time as a Roman Catholic. I mean, just to, I'll be doing other messages, and I've shared this before, just the teaching of the Roman Catholic Mass, that one of those doctrines that they talk about, that the sacrifice of the Mass, this is something that can only be done by a Roman Catholic priest. And they say each time that is done, that sacrifice of the Mass satisfies the justice of God for sins committed against him. And that's heresy, folks. In other words, only a Roman Catholic priest could do this. And each time they do the sacrifice of the Mass and the transubstantiation, that's another term, when, and they say little worship a host, that consecrated wafer becomes Jesus Christ. That's what they believe, folks. I was an altar when I know this. So they say each time that happens that they are satisfying the justice of God. No, that's when the red flag goes up. That's when the sirens sound and say false gospel here, because Jesus Christ paid the price almost 2,000 years ago. He said, it is finished. It is finished. And folks, when he died, that the veil in the Jewish temple tore in half from top to bottom, okay? And you, and no matter who you are, you can be justified by the blood of Jesus Christ. He died for the ungodly, you see? This is what I came out of that deception, folks. I never heard these things before. And that's why, you know, that's why I'm speaking with you today, that I could be saved? Folks, you know, in my testimony, you know, I share about for years, I was searching for truth. I just knew there was something wrong. There was something missing. And I'd be buying all sorts of books. I'd go out to this bookstore in this mall, a couple of bookstores, and go spending many hours searching for books, searching for the truth. And obviously, I never found it until I found the Lord. And there it was, right in the Word of God, the mercy of God, that he would save a soul like me. So when I read scriptures like that God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Folks, I'm justified today by the blood of Jesus Christ because of what he did for me. It's paid for. You see? So what a difference from the religious souls that go to Mass, as I did for many years. First 36 years of my life. Obviously, I wasn't running to Mass as a one-year-old myself, but I'm here to tell you, folks, that the price has been paid. I was sitting under a counterfeit message in a counterfeit church. And it's a serious thing. So we're living in a day when you can get people like Rick Warren, famous man, the purpose-driven life. He refers to the Pope, the Roman Catholic Pope, as our Pope. You wonder why I record these messages, folks, because the Spirit of the living God is telling me to speak, preach the word, warn the people. Warn the people. They're not hearing it in the so-called Protestant churches. They're not hearing it. A lot of times you'll see nothing but entertainment. It's like the old Ed Sullivan show. Bring in this act, bring in that act. You are hearing the word of God preached to you today, folks. Love burning in my heart right now for you. Love for souls, folks. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're Jewish or you're Gentile, I'm going to tell you the same way. I have shared the gospel with Jewish people many times. The same way I would speak to a Gentile person. I'll even bring in the prophecies, trying to tie that together. But I find, you know, I must be honest with you, I got saved in 1989. Basically, the reception is the same as it is for a Gentile. You know, I don't see a lot of them really knowing the scriptures, and it's the same way with a Gentile. But I'm here to tell you that God, his mercy extends evenly to both the Jew and the Gentile. You know, that's another twist. People say, oh, you're preaching replacement theology. No, folks, hear me now. Don't buy this modern day lingo. You read the scriptures. The gospel is the gospel is the gospel. When I got saved, when I was born again of the Spirit, I knew it's heaven for the believer and it's hell for the unbeliever. I knew that God was merciful. He invites everybody to come in, equal opportunity, Savior. And then the devil comes along and says, oh no, this is what this says, and that's what that says, and this, you got to do this. No. Hear me. Preach the word. That's what Jesus said. Preach the word. What did Jesus say when he rose from the dead? The believer will be saved. The unbeliever, they will be damned. He said, all power has been given unto me in heaven and earth. That's a lot of power, folks. I can go off on a deity of Christ, but I don't have time right now. I want to focus on the message. If this message bless you, pass it on to your friend and be blessed in Jesus Christ's name.